Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Well, damaged beyond repair, in my view, is the United Nations. They present themselves as a guardian of peace, security, and human rights. Yet allegations continue to surface about its agency's affiliations with individual groups tied to Hamas. What does the United Nations mandate actually say about the prevention of terrorism? And what happens when the bodies that are meant to uphold the standard are accused of violating it? Joining us to unpack these legal obligations, the politics, the implications, is Anne Hertzberg. She's the legal advisor of NGO Monitor. Anne, a very good morning to you. Thanks for joining us. From a legal perspective, what is the United Nations mandate when it comes to countering terrorism and preventing the support for designated terrorist groups?
Good morning. Great to be with you. Basically the Security Council passed, shortly after 9/11, passed Security Council Resolution 1373, which basically says that all member states have to take actions to prevent any direct and indirect support for terrorism. And so all of those actions, and that also binds the UN via the member states. But unfortunately, what we've been seeing is that in the case of the Palestinians, the UN does not consider any Palestinian terror groups to be terror groups. So they've essentially crafted an exemption for themselves, even though many of the member states that fund the UN do consider most of the Palestinian terror groups to be terror groups.
So Hamas, for example, at the United Nations is not considered a terror group. How is that even possible?
It's outrageous, but it just reflects that the UN is really no standard of morality or rule of law. You know, it's a political body that makes political decisions based on the whims of their member states. And the vast majority of, unfortunately, the member states are countries that are authoritarian, dictatorships, dominated by Muslim and Arab countries. And therefore, they don't care that Hamas is a terrorist organization.
When was the last time an organization then was declared a terror organization by the United Nations? And who would that be, for example?
I'm not sure the last one, but groups like the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, you know, those are groups that they consider that are on the UN terror list, but none of the Palestinian groups are.
Which is absolutely, as you say, outrageous. It's just beyond words, because then what follows is an impossibility to prosecute them and to hold the United Nations themselves accountable for supporting terror if it isn't terror.
Exactly. And I mean, the other thing, too, is that there has been controversy for many years over even defining what terrorism means. So, again, that's been blocked by Muslim and Arab countries that obviously want to try to carve out terrorism against Israelis. And so it's been very hard to even come to a consensus on the definition of terrorism. And then, of course, you have other UN bodies like the UN Human Rights Council and its various commissions of inquiry against Israel. And whenever they speak about Hamas, or if they even name Hamas by name, usually they don't even mention it by name. But they also, when they talk about terrorism, they'll put it in scare quotes in their reports. So they completely erase the context of terrorism against Israelis.
Let's just talk about the allegations. What are the allegations against the United Nations of supporting terror? And by terror, we actually mean the real world, the reality, and not a definition or a construct.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are a couple ways in which they do. First of all, certainly with UNRWA, but UNRWA is not the only one. When the UN is operating in an area that's controlled by a terrorist organization, like southern Lebanon, like in Yemen under Houthi-controlled areas, and of course in Gaza, controlled by Hamas, it's impossible for UN agencies or humanitarian organizations to operate unless they fully cooperate with that terrorist organization. So that may mean giving bribes, doing what that group says, holding back on reporting so that they are allowed to continue to operate. And also they get infiltrated by the terrorist organizations. So whether or not that's knowing, that part is unknown, although certainly UNRWA knew that many of its ranks were members of Hamas or Islamic Jihad or the PFLP. So that's one way in which they support terrorism. And then the other way, of course, is via money and allowing their aid to be stolen. So the and then I guess I would even say the third way in which they support terrorism is by putting out propaganda and erasing the context of terrorism from their reports, which only strengthens those terror groups.
So if the United Nations bodies are found to be affiliated with or enabling terrorist groups, what are the legal implications under international law?
Well, certainly they could be prosecuted. I mean, all, certainly for international crimes. So under international law, you have international crimes like war crimes, crimes against humanity, genocide. And certainly they could, and I think should, some of them be prosecuted for international crimes. And there's no immunity for international crimes. And then you have, in domestic settings, you may have these types of crimes or supporting terrorism, material support for terrorism. And I think also in some countries, you could even make a case for fraud because some of these organizations are raising money. Certainly in the United States, they are. And UNRWA is a you know, case in point. They're raising money in America. And, you know, they are not fully honest with the extent to which Hamas has infiltrated their organization. And so I believe they're raising money under false pretenses. There's a colorable claim for that.
Right. Have there been examples in the past where the United Nations themselves were held accountable for supporting terror?
Well, see, this is the problem because the UN generally does have immunity. Now, the Trump administration has, in some cases, said it's going to waive that immunity. But in most cases, when the UN does bad things, they hide behind their immunity. And so that's how they've been able to get away with it. But they seem to forget that when it comes to international crimes, such as I mentioned, there is no immunity for international crimes. So they cannot hide behind the shield of immunity. Now, they may, you know, they're going to try to get the international, there's a case pending at the International Court of Justice where they're going to try to say, get the court to say UNRWA is indispensable and the court will probably go along with them. And, you know, so they're going to try to hide behind the shield, but under the law, they do not have that shield. So, I think moral people all over the world who care about rule of law should insist that they also be held accountable for what they've done.
Have these findings been formally presented to the United Nations or member states or oversight bodies?
Yeah, even in their fixed, you know, they had this inquiry, the Kelowna inquiry last year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, which was a total inside job, so it was pretty mild. But even in that report, they admit that Hamas definitely infiltrated parts of UNRWA. And there have been other reports throughout the years. So even their own people, even their own weak, you know, rigged report admits that that UNRWA has been infiltrated and compromised. And I don't think they've even ever really allowed a real investigation.
No, I'm sure not. Do you think there's a realistic chance of reform, or has it gone too far?
I think UNRWA cannot be reformed. I do think some of the other UN agencies probably could be reformed if there was political will for it. I don't know if there is political will, but UNRWA is beyond help at this point. It's completely overtaken. its mission is to perpetuate a refugee crisis, which makes no sense, because if all of these quote-unquote refugees are living within Gaza, that's what they consider to be the state of Palestine. So why are they refugees in their own state? That makes no sense. Mm. And really what UNRWA has been doing is brainwashing and abusing children for decades with fantasies that they're going to be able to get rid of the Jews and supposedly reclaim land that was once theirs. So UNRWA has been selling this nasty fantasy, this violent and dangerous fantasy, as we've all seen, for many, many years. And they are not willing to stop doing that. So that's why it's impossible that this agency still exists. Other people can step in and do the humanitarian aid. They don't need UNRWA.
100%. Finally, if there's one thing that you'd like listeners to understand about the UN's role and responsibility in preventing terrorism, what is it?
Yeah, I mean, they, under the UN Charter, their role of the UN, again, is to promote international peace and security, and they're not living up to their founding principles. They violate them on a daily basis, and they refuse to hold themselves accountable for it. So I think it's incumbent upon member states to withhold the funding until they actually do their jobs.
Anne Hertzberg, legal advisor of NGO Monitor, talking to us about United Nations and their affiliations with Hamas and terror. Do you think that this is solvable, or is the United Nations, maybe like the word Zionists, just corrupted from by those who hate?